P.J. Harvey is a rock star. She writes and sings her own songs, records them in her home studio in Dorset, in England. The P.J. stands for Polly Jean. She's on tour now. Her new album is called Uh-Huh Her. I don't need no rising. This is the latest single from the CD. It's called Shame. I don't need no ball and chain. P.J. Harvey joins us now in our Washington studios. Thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Could I just start with the liner notes for the CD? They're not really liner notes in the sense that you don't write out the songs or the lyrics or anything. They're more like very personal production notes accompanied by snapshots, which I gather are self-portraits with little slogans glued over the top that look like...
Some of them are very funny, I think, when you think that that's how I would remind myself to keep on track with how I wanted the record to be, because I think when you're making a record, you lose sight along the way. You forget what you started off with and what your plan was.
You have a line in here that's pasted in from the notes that says... Keep all noises, crashes, hiss, and bangs on demos. Now, of course, we try to get the crashes, hisses, and bangs out of all of our pieces, too. Is there a particular song that's referring to?
I think there's lots of them. All of my demos that I make at home have tons of hiss on them, and I enjoy that kind of thing. I enjoy the happy accidents that come about. I enjoy when you play a wrong note or when... I can remember there was a lot of work going on in the road outside my house when I was making the record, so sometimes you'd hear drilling happening and just... I like those outside noises. Watching out the windows, watch the way the wind blows, soon it will be morning. Still the question lingers, I twist it around my fingers. Could you be my calling? Could you be my calling?
The idea of this record, in part, is like some kind of... very minimalist biography, I guess. It's you talk about the brief history of my life. You almost ditched the band here. I mean, there's very little instrumental support. There's no kind of layering of tracks. Is this minimalism? Is this what you were headed for?
Yeah, I think very much so with this record. And I think I tend to... in an effort to make something new each time, to challenge myself and try new areas, I always try and veer away as much as I can from the record before. Of course, my record before was very highly produced with a lot of instrumentation, a lot of melody, and so I just felt this time I wanted to get right back to the absolute basics. With the headlights burning, looking out for something, something that we're needing, still the question lingers, I twist it around my fingers, could you be my calling, could you be my calling?
Some of the songs, it didn't seem to me, it's nothing as sort of simple as reverb or anything like that, but there's a kind of a muffled quality to the music at some point, to your voice.
Yeah, I mean, I choose to use a lot of different effects on my voice in a way to help get across the atmosphere of the song, and it just provides a nice variety. I don't like my voice to sound the same, so I try to sing in different ways, and I try to use different effects, and... a lot of the times I might actually physically sing under a blanket or something like that, but just all these different things that are going to make you sing differently.
I was wondering how you did that when I heard it. I was wondering where did that sort of...
I think I just rolled all the treble off the effect that I was using and sing in a certain way, sing in a way that my throat is slightly tighter than I would usually hold it, all those sort of things. You can't make me be a wife. How the world just turns and turns. How does anybody learn?
I was interested to notice that you left home, you went to art school, you lived in London, and started a career, and then when you were sufficiently successful to afford it, I gather, you bought a home near your family.
Mm.
And basically moved back home. Now, that's sort of like the opposite of the way we think of dark rock and roll stars.
Yeah, I'm pretty complicated combination of things, I think, but... I'm very close with my family, and where I grew up in Dorset, I mean, it's very usual for families to stay living near each other. It's just kind of what happens. And I still have a house very close to them, although I have moved further afield and I do have a place in Los Angeles as well these days. But I still gravitate to my family very often.
Is the Mary Jane, who's the Mary Jane Harvey to whom the album is dedicated?
That's my grandmother.
Well, tell me... Why did you dedicate the album to your grandma?
She was dying during the time I was making the record, and we were nursing her at home. And so my kind of daily routine was work on songs and look after my grandmother. And she was deteriorating slowly over a period of about a year and a half, which was and pretty much locked right in with this time I was making the record. And writing the songs, and it was just I just felt she was very involved in it because she'd want to talk to me about my day, and I'd tell her about the songs, and she got familiar with the songs and wanted to know how they'd gone. And it was just I can't listen to the record myself without remembering that whole period. And
did she like your music?
Some of it, very little. No, she was quite honest with me about the things she did like. I think she quite liked the To Bring You My Love album. She liked more of the ballads on there.
There are a couple of very sweet ballady sorts of songs on this one, too. They sort of stand out from the subtle, brutal.
Yes, yeah, like No Child of Mine or Darker Days of Me and Him. They're all quite gentle, beautiful things, I think.
No Child of Mine is like a sort of a brief snapshot. It's a very small song, but very pretty.
I mean, I put that on there because it seems to be somehow in a very small amount of time seems to sum up the whole purpose of getting born, living and dying for me. So I kind of like that little piece.
I have no time for hate or love. Hate, child, is so full of woe. I have no time for
There's a story about one of the first shows that you did in a pub in which the sort of story that would just might make any performer decide to become a greengrocer or something, about a woman shouting, "Nobody likes you."
It's absolutely true. First gig ever. It was actually in a Skittle Alley in Dorset.
And what's a Skittle Alley?
It's where people play Skittles. It's a little bit like 10-pin bowling. It's an English version. And we started playing. I suppose there was about 50 people there. And in the first song, we cleared the hall. There was about 2 people left. And a woman came up to us, came up to my drummer, there was only a 3-piece, while we were playing, and shouted at him, "Don't you realise nobody likes you? We'll pay you. You can stop playing. We'll still pay you." And it was enough to... Yeah, I pretty much wanted to give up at that point.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't. I think I thought, I'm going to give it one more chance.
PJ Harvey. Her album is called Her. PJ Harvey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been nice to talk to you.
To hear an extended interview with PJ Harvey and to listen to more of her music, go to our website at npr.org.